You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, online kpcg.fm, and a live link there at thetrumpet.com as well. You can listen in if you'd like to do it there. And also the TuneIn app, it's a good place to listen to us. So we appreciate you joining us in those various locations for Trumpet Radio Live. This is the Tuesday edition. Dwight Falk, Abraham Blondeau with you here today. And some headlines to get to. Also, we're going to talk about the Key of David program that's coming up today in the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Grant Turgeon is going to be stopping by for our second segment. This has been in the news lately. He's going to talk about the IRS, how they've released the list of groups that they targeted in their scandal from a few years ago. 3 years later, they released the list. When are you going to get that list to me? Ah, it's coming. 3 years later. So more information about that. We'll talk about that. And then some events that have happened on this day in history as well. Here in Oklahoma, for those listening online that are not in the local area, summer's kind of shown up. It's been in the 90s the last day or two, so definitely feels like summer now.
Yeah, it's definitely convincing me more and more to fix the air conditioning in my truck. So it's making a pretty good case.
It's forcing you. You have to do it at some point. Yeah, it gets hot out there. So, and we haven't even gotten up into the hundreds yet. Yeah. So that's probably coming too. It's been very hot out on the West Coast. Been looking at the headlines, and some of those areas have been extremely hot. Death Valley was extremely hot the other day.
Right.
And, but I was thinking, I thought, well, that's an appropriately named location.
Yes.
Death Valley. That's what it is.
If you move there, if you visit there, you definitely know what to expect.
It's like sometimes you drive past a housing development, and they have a just these names that have nothing to do with the actual landscaping. You know, it'll be like, Twin Lakes or something, and you look in there and you don't see anything. You see one small pond. And it sounds good, but it's not legitimate. Death Valley is legitimate.
Yes.
That's what's happening there. They let you know ahead of time. A couple of headlines to get to today. These are kind of sometimes we have ones that are a little harder hitting as far as the news of the world. These are a little more on just the human interest, I suppose, side of things. This next headline here is from the Daily Mail UK. Health-related people get concerned about heart attacks sometimes. And they say the secret to avoiding a heart attack, going to sleep at the same time each night. They say that's majorly important. They say stable sleeping pattern helps the heart filter out stress hormones. People who don't get enough sleep or stay up too late have a raised pulse. Lack of sleep also raises risk of obesity, diabetes, and cancer. And if you get to sleep at the same time and get enough sleep, it allows the heart to rejuvenate properly with a good night's rest. So, really interesting findings. They commented in the article that society's gotten kind of arrogant, you know, thinking they don't need sleep. We'll push through it, take a five-hour energy or whatever. they're not a sponsor of the show, so I can say that. Or whatever else is out there, and just keep going. But the heart's a muscle, and it can get overworked. And so sleep is very important for a lot of things. Avoiding heart attacks, but also keeping your weight in check. It helps prevent diabetes and cancer. So sleep's important.
Right. Yeah, I think when it comes to health, we forget common sense sometimes, I think. And just really thinking about how the human body was created, that sleep is part of our lives, whether we want to accept it or not. And it's a good thing, and it's something that's a consistent part of our daily schedule, daily cycle. So obviously it's essential to preventing things that happen out of normal, which are these different health problems. And if you do look at the sudden rise in all these different health issues, usually it's coincides with a sudden destructive lifestyle too. And you can really see that in society. And not even talking about food, the food crisis we're having with how unhealthy it is and processed foods, but just the lifestyle people have nowadays. It's even pushed having a phone with you all the time that keeps you up at night. Different activities that keep you up late into the night, or sleeping in too late. There are all these different habits we get into. And I think that's a big contributor to health that people don't admit, I think, because it's one of the hardest things to change.
There's a lot of pressure to feel like you're very productive and trying to squeeze more and more in. But I'm sure, as we've all experienced, if you don't have a good night's sleep, the next day's rough. It's hard. Even if you're getting things done, you're not as productive as you would have been. Probably aren't doing those activities as well. And there can be some really serious problems from not getting enough sleep. So I think they recommend about, 7.5 to 9 hours, give or take, per night. And then, of course, depending on your age, younger people sometimes need more sleep. Teenagers sleep like 23 hours a day, I think. Somewhere in there.
The average.
I'm not sure. Yeah. Not sure if that's recommended, but that's sometimes what happens, it seems like. But sleeping is important. So we have to try to make sure we get enough. That's an interesting write up there. And again, like you mentioned, Abraham, it's common sense stuff, but that's why it's common sense, because it's so essential. This one's interesting as well. This has been in the news lately because of concussions and so forth. The science of football: which positions take the hardest hits? Scientists are looking into this more because of the injuries to football players and the long-term effects that they're discovering now that people can have. So they did this study on football, and this is interesting because a lot of young people play football, and parents are thinking about whether or not to have young people involved in that. It says that this study, they measured it in G-force, the impact. 1G is equal to the force of Earth's gravity. So 5 G's is 5 times the force of gravity. So that, I think, is a pretty good explanation there. According to NASA, 3 G's is the amount of force it takes to pin people to the walls of spinning rides seen at carnivals, which is interesting. I think we've all seen those rooms that go around. A race car braking and turning is under about 5 G's of force. According to Dennis K. Liu, a professor of mechanical engineering at the University of California, Berkeley. And so they're giving you some kind of parameters to understand the forces we're talking about here. The researchers found that the running backs in this study, and those, of course, are the men generally tasked with carrying the ball, experience more severe impacts above 10 Gs when they get hit. So if just now keep that in mind. 5 G's, they say, is what did they say? That was the race car, I believe. Yeah, 5 G's of force would be the race car braking and turning. So, I've not been in a race car going that fast, but I've seen them. I can kind of imagine, I guess. that's a pretty hard hit, 10 G's, above 10 G's. That was the greatest G-force impact, although not a statistically significant number more than quarterbacks, so it's all kind of in the same range there. These were from findings published May 21st in the Journal of Strength and Conditioning Research. They say, but at the same time, the running backs recorded fewer heavy impacts than either wide receivers or offensive linemen. So they're measuring the force of the hit, but then they also have to factor in how many times do they get hit.
Right.
You could do this with hockey. You could do this with a lot of the sports where they are contact sports. The researchers said that the severe impacts that running backs sustain could be the result of being tackled by multiple players while running at a high speed, or receiving a direct head-on tackle from an opponent who is running at a high speed. I guess you have to be a scientist to figure that one out.
Right.
I think I could have guessed that one.
Yeah.
why are they getting the impacts? They're being run into by other people.
Yeah.
Okay. The wide receivers in the study experienced the most, quote, very light and light to moderate impacts among the offensive positions. These impacts range from a force of 5 to 6.5 Gs. Offensive linemen also experienced significantly more very light impacts than either running backs or quarterbacks. And it's interesting because, like they say, offensive linemen, they're not getting hit as hard, but they're getting hit every play.
Right.
And I saw a report years ago, I'm assuming it was correct, where they said every hit on the line is sort of like a minor fender bender. And, if you've ever been in a fender bender, that can really cause whiplash and other problems. And you're doing that every single time you're coming off the line.
Yeah.
And so even though it may not be one monstrous hit, it's just the repeated, hits. So interesting report here. It says, among the defensive positions, defensive tackles experience more moderate to very heavy, 6.6 to 10 Gs, hits than any other defensive position. The players in this position also recorded more light to moderate impacts than all other defensive positions. And the wide range of the forces of the hits that defensive tackles take is likely due to their high amount of physical contact with several opposing players during each play. And so just shows some of the force that players are being hit with. So it's interesting. I'd be interested to see if there was a hockey one too. That would be more up your alley as far as that goes. But basically, if you're out on the football field, you're going to be hit, and you're going to be hit with the force of 5+ G's probably every time you go down.
Yeah, this is really interesting because I think the big hits, the crowd loves it, and like it's become more a part of the game. But when we need to step back and think about, are we reaching the capabilities of what the human body can sustain? Especially with the development of the sports technology, players can run faster. Sports nutrition is better. They're better athletes. They're stronger. People might debate that, but I think on the average, that's true. And their equipment's thicker. Their helmets are stronger. So factor in all these things, and you can see why someone can generate that amount of force. But also, this, can the human body sustain that kind of impact? And we're finding it absolutely can't. We're not meant to be jarred around at 5 to 10 G's playing a sport. That's not the point of it.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of research to try to combat the head trauma, the concussions. And there's an interesting theory about something they want to try that I saw a while ago. And they study the woodpecker. Woodpecker repeatedly slams its head off of a tree.
Right.
Or its beak, right? And it's fine. Now, I don't think they give woodpeckers concussion protocols,
right,
but they seem to be okay out there. So anyway, they found that what happens with a woodpecker is they have, I think it's even their tongue or something, it can constrict some of the blood vessels in its neck, and it reduces the amount of blood that's flowing. And so it the brain doesn't rattle around because it like compacts the space that the brain is in, if I understood it correctly. And so because of that, the brain doesn't get jarred. And so what they're doing now to try to simulate that with some tests anyway is having football players wear a kind of a collar on their neck. It just puts light pressure there, and it takes away some of that space in the head. Because the problem, obviously, with concussions is that even though the helmet protects your skull from cracking, your brain is floating in a little bit of liquid in there.
Right.
There's some space, so that brain's hitting off the skull. So by doing that, they've actually found that it reduces some of the impact. I don't know if they'll ever put that to use, or you know, if that's like the big solution to it all.
Right.
But it's interesting, and I thought it was interesting that they went back and looked at something in nature to see how that works. I thought, well, that's at least a clever way to look at the problem.
Yeah, I think a lot of engineering solutions or where we're finding how to minimize risk to a human body, there's examples in nature of how things were designed to minimize that risk, and when they have specific jobs or purposes. But I think this is really interesting too, because it's good to think about this before putting our children in these sports, or this, or even if you're deciding yourself to play these things, it's important to think about the risks involved. Even hockey is the same thing. They're having lots of problems with head trauma because of players are bigger, they're moving faster, and there's a lot of problems and head injuries. So it is really interesting though that we're trying to find a solution from nature. But I think the real solution though is that you just can't hit someone with so much force that you could probably dent a car.
Yeah, for those people out there that are rugby fans, sometimes there's a little bit of a debate back and forth. Rugby fans will say, you know, American football, that's weak because you got all that padding on and so forth. And there's probably arguments on both sides, but the padding is used as a weapon.
Right.
Right, because if you're wearing a helmet and pads, you see those guys, and they're trying to clean this up, but you'll see them launch themselves like a human missile. Whereas if you don't have that padding, you're not going to tackle the same. You know, you'll grab the waist, or you'll go down and try to take the legs or something. You won't just launch your head directly into that other person. And in a lot of ways, the reason they have to do that sometimes is the weight difference. If a tight end catches a football coming out of the backfield, and he weighs 300 pounds, and you're a defensive back and you're a 175, you're not going to take him down unless you like hit him, like you launch yourself into him.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's tough. You know, I'm sure people don't really want to do that, but at the same time, if you can't make that tackle, you know, you've got you know, how many of them are in the stadium booing and everybody at home yelling at you, get him out of the game, you know? So
yeah,
a lot of pressure there. But anyway, kind of interesting. And there are, I think the numbers of kids playing is starting to be reduced somewhat because of that. I really like the game. I think it's a lot of fun to watch. Obviously don't like all the injuries and the impacts. As a kid, I didn't realize, you know, I watched it and I thought, oh, you just get up and move on with your life, but you can't take hits like that.
Yeah, that's why if you watch an example of when they're just trying to figure out how head trauma affected sports, if you watch some of the old hockey interviews, some of them might be a little slower, maybe because they're tired, but also that's before they had helmets, before they had a lot of things. And I think some of them really suffered from that. And they didn't know at the time, but looking back on how they acted and their how they spoke and everything, you can really see some of that there.
Takes a toll, for sure. Yeah.